Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is speaking this hour as the House is putting suspected Russian war crimes under the microscope.
We tragically find ourselves witnessing the worst war and humanitarian crisis in Europe since World War II.
Massachusetts Democrat Bill Keating opened a hearing and cited gross violations of human rights in Ukraine. He said Russia is responsible for a growing humanitarian tragedy and cannot deny the atrocities that are being committed. The first Ukrainian-born congresswoman says she believes there's some unity right now in Congress to put pressure on President Biden to take more action against Russia. Indiana Republican Victoria Sparks said it's Congress's responsibility to do what the executive branch will not or is slow to do.
Congress has a responsibility to put pressure on this president. We provide the necessary tools to the executive branch, and we have to have accountability from the executive branch, and I'm glad to see there is some unity.
Sparks says the U.S. needs to lead the way for the rest of the world and help maintain peace in Ukraine. Several University of the Southwest students are dead after a collision in West Texas. The university's men's and women's golf team was in a van traveling back from a tournament. The driver and passenger in a pickup were killed, as well as six students and a university faculty member. A powerful earthquake off the coast of Japan is triggering a tsunami alert. The magnitude 7.3 earthquake hit just after 11:30 p.m. local time and was felt as far away as Tokyo. The Japan Meteorological Agency issued advisories for the Fukushima and Miyagi prefectures with a warning that waves up to 3 feet could hit the coast. Nuclear power plants in the area were under inspection, and more than 2 million homes were reported to be without power. Fukushima was devastated by an earthquake and tsunami just over a decade ago that took the lives of over 15,000 people. The first all-electric vehicle from Cadillac will begin rolling off the assembly line Monday in limited numbers. GM has reportedly received over 230,000 requests for information about the Lyriq crossover from the public. Officially, dealers will take orders for the vehicle starting May 19th. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 11 Pro and get an easy start to your workday. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
My leg was painful, red, and swollen just doing the crossword puzzle. I could have put off telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
He told his doctor and found out his leg pain, swelling, and redness are deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to the lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. If you have one or more of these symptoms, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life black. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I have to take a moment. I mean, many of you have heard me talk about or reference what is going on in the Ukraine. And I know myself and Mark Anthony were planning an interview with one of the members of parliament. So I just want to say we're opening today's show, and I'm opening every show with heart opening, because that's what, you know, this episode and the conversation with Brett Bevel is about heart opening, really. You know, when we take a look at how our conscious and unconscious works when we're thinking about, or how should I say it, not even thinking about racism. You know, what inherits our bodies? What inherits our what literally takes over? What kicks in? Today, Brett's going to take us on a journey. This is his passion. This is his purpose. You know, he has talked about many, many aspects of racism. You know, he's the author of several books But when it comes to racism, it's about healing racism within. And when you have experienced, you know, the associated trauma that comes along, and I have to say with any form of racism, people may be thinking, oh, well, what do you mean trauma? Do you mean the trauma of getting mugged, like a friend of mine was just mugged? No, doesn't have to be that. So we're going to talk about this today and open our hearts, open our minds, and let's make a commitment to change. Brett, are you? I know you're all in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, let's talk about unconscious ways racism. I want to say, I don't want to say in inhabits our consciousness. I mean, you know, it's as if our consciousness is porous, and racism somehow finds every pore to pour itself in. Can you talk about the levels of that and what you've seen?
Yeah, thank you. So I mean, one of the main ways I see it is something that I call a racist gruel, and I'm borrowing the term gruel from Vishen Lakhiani, which basically means a BS rule. You know, we create all these kinds of rules in our consciousness that sometimes have no real basis in truth. A perfect example of a racist gruel for me would be that kind of romanticized vision of the old South that you see, like with films like Gone with the Wind, this idea of some, you know, pretty place, and as opposed to what it really was, which is a human factory farm where there was a lot of pain, a lot of torture, a lot of really horrible things going on. And so when we try to pretty things up in our own consciousness and not see things as they truly are, then that allows us to make decisions that are uninformed and make choices that don't really look at the truth of things. And we can do that feeling totally fine about ourselves because we feel like, oh, you know, nothing wrong with me. I'm just going about my day, right? Mm-hmm. And there's these little tiny ways in which those racist rules kind of seep into our awareness and seep into our consciousness. And so, you know, a lot of my work is how can we use tools, whether it's energy healing or affirmations or art therapy, or other things, to really start to look at ourselves and turn that around and take a deeper look in through our subconscious mind and work this stuff out.
You know, I want you to really talk a little bit more about this because, you know, there's unexpressed, in your terms, your language, unexpressed racial greed. And I want to talk about this for a minute because I gave one example. A close friend of mine got mugged about a week ago. And, you know, I mean, okay, I'm calling it mugged, but to be honest with you, it's like a hate crime. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody gets, you know, treated badly or physically or mentally and emotionally because of the color of their skin, because of their sexual identity, whatever that is, because you're either a woman or a man, whatever that is, because fill in the dots, there's a line that gets crossed. And associated with that are many forms of grief. Can you talk about racial grief and explain that to people?
Yeah, so I'll talk about it first in terms of just being a white person and a white person who came from a very racist background. You know, it took me a while to realize that there was emotional pain that I didn't want to look at that was about the way my parents behaved, the way my grandparents behaved, and also just the way my culture has behaved. There's a certain level of pain there. And what I've realized, too, it really came to the surface for me a number of years ago when I was doing my master's thesis in San Francisco, which involves some poetry. And when I really started to read that poetry in the Bay Area, which you would think of as being quite progressive and liberal, I was getting the strangest reactions from people who literally wanted to censor my work and did censor my work because they didn't want to hear what I was talking about. And so for me, that was an indicator that this grief, when you don't look at it, I was looking at it through my poetry, but when you don't look at it, you're going to want to push it away. And so I think society, we do that in many ways. I think even just the kinds of reaction that people like Colin Kaepernick get for taking a knee on a football field during the national anthem, simply to call attention to the injustice that was happening with one police shooting after another of innocent people, you know, that huge overreaction that we create as a culture is really based on this internal stuff that we've never had the courage to look at.
And, you know, I want to stay with that for a minute because I think it's a perfect example. I really would like you to talk to it because, I mean, let's just go down fascination and imagination lane for a second, if we could.
Yeah.
If a guy like Kaepernick, if a guy like him loses everything, right? I mean, let's try not to look at him today, right, for a minute. Let's try to look at what happened then.
Yeah.
One day, he is a superstar. The next day, everybody pretty much turns on him. And I don't say everybody because not everybody did. But the turn against him was so dominant. But today, we look at him, he's kind of like a hero. But he did lose everything. So let's talk about what happens if you're not him, if you're not Colin Kaepernick. You're like the average, everyday person trying to earn a living, and you're faced with this. And because the consequences are so great for speaking up until it gets to a boiling point that you just suck it up. I mean, the painful thought of that, it's just daunting for me.
And I think, again, I think that's one of the psychological mechanisms that keeps racism in place in our culture, and the fact that, you know, because it is so overwhelmingly challenging to have the courage to speak out, and in many cases, people might be, you know, risking their job or risking more than that by speaking out, risking their reputation, risking their livelihood, and that when you do that, you know, you're trying to do it for a greater good, but you're also very aware of the potential consequences if people decide, you know, as I experienced on some of them, as many people experienced in a greater way, that you know, the negativity of that can be pretty harsh.
Yeah, and there's no question about it. I mean, I want to talk about a couple of other things here because, you know, unexpressed racial grief has, I don't even want to talk about the devastating effects of that because any grief, let's just talk about any grief, we already know from science what it does to our bodies, what it does to our subconscious, what it does to our behavior. I mean, you could go on. But this in particular, this idea of unexpressed racial grief, it literally holds prisoner a person's life. And, you know, many of us have gone through it. I have worked in corporate environment, and I will tell you this. And my coach was from Ghana, Africa. And when you see things as a young person, as I did, and you don't understand it, having grown up in an environment where you are the white person, but you don't know it because you're just with people. You're coming out in the world now, and now you see the world the way the world sees you in the context of who gets privilege and who doesn't. That in itself is, people grieve that every day.
Yeah. I mean, the level of, again, I often experience it on a daily basis just because my wife is a person of color. And just, you know, what would seem to be the simplest things in terms of, you know, somebody not paying attention to you in a line because of the color of your skin and things like that I hear about on a pretty constant basis.
Oh, my God. I waited in a restaurant for 5 hours, like 4.5 hours we waited, until we realized Sam and I did not get a seat because he was black. I mean, why would we even wait that long? But, you know, honestly, you see this every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so prevalent in our society. It's really, I think, again, it's part of the energetic fabric of who we are because of 500 years of racial oppression is woven into our consciousness. And again, I think that there are healing tools we can use to try to unwind it and to try to release that, but we have to really be willing to step into that and step into that conversation and step into that process.
Can you talk about our culture and cultural loss? I mean, here's what I'm struck by. I'd love you to comment on this. I would love for you to talk about this idea of culture, because when Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, was elected twice, you know, everybody thought the world had changed. Everybody. I call it the great racism illusion. And, I mean, I don't know another phrase. I made that up. But everybody thought, we have arrived. Now, why do I say that? I think it had positive progressive impact. I really do. Mm-hmm. But culture is tricky, isn't it? And whether you're a consultant and trying to address culture, like corporate culture, it is tricky. It is slippery. Can you talk about culture and the impact, what happens, you know, when we have culture in the forefront?
Yeah, so, I mean, so culture loss for me is when, you know, one of the great things about this country is that idea of the melting pot, but one of the sort of negative aspects of the melting pot is often as we're fusing into one culture, we can lose really the generational knowledge that our grandmother or grandparents or great-grandparents had, the customs, the traditions, the things that bound us together and made our lives richer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have levels of culture loss, whether one is white or brown or whatever one's background or heritage might be. I think in this culture, you know, that we've kind of trained things to be left on the doorstep, where we no longer embrace necessarily those traditions that our ancestors brought when coming to this country. Or for a person of color, I think it's even stronger that way, because, you know, the dominant culture is this white privileged culture. And so I think when we don't really examine what we've lost in terms of our own personal culture loss, for example, I'm kind of a mutt. I've got heritage that goes to, you know, Greece, Irish, Dutch, Cherokee, German, French. But all those cultures, for me, it's pretty void. Like, I don't have a lot of traditions to draw from that I'm knowingly and consciously part of. And so I think that culture loss has affected our overall culture in the way that makes our life far less rich and kind of deprives us of some of the mechanisms that we might have been able to be held by our culture in terms of moving through things like racial grief and things like that.
I love this conversation. Before we keep going, I want to make sure everybody tuning in, Brett Bevel's joining me here. Brett, how do people get a copy of your book about healing racism within? Fabulous, fabulous invitation. I call it an invitation book, boy, because I don't care who you are. You got something inside got to be healed, and this is going to help you. How do we find out about that? Tell us some of the things you're teaching now. You know, you're also a Reiki trainer at the Omega Institute, holistic studies. You're all of that. How do we find out about Brett?
So you can find out about me. You can go to my website, brettbevel.com. That's BRETTBEVELL.com. In terms of the book, Healing Racism Within, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also I totally encourage people to support their local bookstore as well. So you could easily go into your local bookshop and just order it if they don't have it readily available. But certainly Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I know, carry it as well. And, yeah, I do a lot of things. I'm also an energy healer, and part of the training that I do involves Reiki trainings that I offer at Omega Institute, and they'll be offering a level 1 and 2 training there in early July of this year that I'm excited about.
You know, we had an interesting conversation. I will share it with you because it ties right in to what we're talking about today. I don't know what it is, Brett. Maybe it's a phase that I'm going through in my life, or maybe it's because I've had a couple of people ask me to write a bunch of articles and, you know, Pat, share this, share that. And and I just don't. I mean, it's like, I think I missed an article deadline like Monday. But I've started to think about my life and how rich and challenging some parts of it have been. I want to talk to you about this idea of a racial self-portrait. And the reason I want to talk to you about it is there's been a little confusion in my family here over the past, I'm going to say 10 years, once the genie got out of the bottle. Grandpa was born in Brazil. Hello. He was like a farmer in Brazil, like born in Brazil. And like now all of these relatives with my mom's maiden name and then the other relatives that we thought we were all like Italian, they're all in South America, right? I want to talk about this racial self-portrait because I think it's important. Intuitively, we know what we're drawn to. Do you know I got disallowed to participate in a sport back in 1974 because I had a shirt outfit on from my coach's home region, Ghana. His mom was an entrepreneur in Ghana, and she created me this beautiful, and I wasn't allowed to play in it. And there was some cockamamie story about how it was too bright to see the little white ball. And I refused to take it off. And so let's talk about our self-portraits here. Can we give it to me from your perspective? Because you are married to a person of color. So explain to people what self-portrait is and how powerful it could be.
Yeah, so for me, this racial self-portrait is pretty easy. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be, you know, a talented drawer or anything like that. Just a simple blank piece of paper and a pen or pencil, and just do a drawing of yourself, even like a doodle of yourself. But while you're doing that doodle or that drawing of yourself, hold your intention that you're expressing things about your own racial awareness, right? So when I first started doing this, when I would draw my ears, they would come out very pointed and kind of tangled, and I would just let myself feel with that intuitively. What is that emotional tangled thing that I'm seeing around my ears? And I would tune into it. It's like, oh, those are the words of hatred that I heard growing up as a child. Those are the words of disparaging people of other races that I heard as a child. And so just allowing my ears to be drawn in this disfigured way, but just to me that showed what I was experiencing as a child. Also, when I would do these drawings in the beginning, I'd see my eyes would always be closed, and that was because there were things I just didn't want to see. There were things that I didn't want to acknowledge that were related to my own racial history and the kind of horrific racial history that I grew up with in my very racist family. Even in how I drew my mouth, you know, it was kind of distorted with this sense of like an inability to speak the truth. And many of these techniques I learned from basically just doing art therapy when I was overcoming my own sexual abuse trauma as a child. But art therapy was very helpful for me. And so I thought, let's just adapt this process to reflect and tune into what's going on with ourselves with relationship to issues around race.
I love it. I don't know if I have time to step away, but the power of what you're talking about here today. And what I mean by the power of it, the power of what you're talking about here today and the expression of that allows us to explore parts of who we are. And I'm not able to get it, but art, I created these, I don't know what to call them. People call them goddess heads. I took styrofoam. I won appetizer forks at a white elephant, and I created about 8 of these. And one of them is a self-portrait. And when I show that to people, they're shocked by it. Actually, 2 of them are self-portraits. One is a very, very dark face, right? Just dark. What do we learn from self-exploration? Because you and I can do a whole show on racism and art therapy, and I think we should. Actually,
yeah.
But what do we learn? Because I learned so much about myself. See, I saw myself in that, but people looked at it and they said, what the heck? were you thinking? I wasn't. Tell us about the power of expression of our self-portraits.
Yeah, so the self-portraits, for me, they become like a Rorschach dot or a way that you can really start to reflect back on, oh, this is an area where I'm still holding on to stuff that I need to release. This is an area where I need to improve, like, oh, if my mouth is distorted because of things that I was afraid of speaking the truth, well, yeah, how am I speaking the truth today, right? Or if my ears were distorted by ways that I, you know, things that I heard as a child, what am I really listening to today? What am I being discerning about in terms of how I listen to people or situations? And even just in how I do my eyes, like, am I really willing to look at myself and also to look at my own relationships and how they are either equitable or inequitable and take action around that? So to me, the power of a self-portrait is it really gives you kind of a in-the-moment energetic imprint of where you are, what you need to work on, and kind of a map, you know, that can help lead you to a better place.
You know, when we have more time, and I hope you will come back because I do want to talk about this, you know, we recently in the state were told we could take our masks off for a lot of reasons, but now I understand that may be changing. But I always, 9 times out of 10, I wear a black mask. And somebody said to me, why do you wear a black mask? And I thought, well, that's the oddest question. I mean, it's not even like, why are you wearing a mask? But why do you wear a black mask? Every time I see you, you either have a full black mask. It's black, black, black. Why is that even a concern for you? But you see how odd these parts of ourselves are. But it's an opening for a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's digging deeper into that, you know, whether it's the issue around the mask or the self-portrait. It's when we have those invitations to just dig deeper and take a deeper look at ourselves and at our world.
You know, I love what you're doing. And we'll have to talk to Linda and get this on the books to talk about racism and how we portray it and how healing art can be. Because I know that's something that you do. The work you do is powerful. You come from a personal place and a passionate place, as I do. What do you want to say to the world today? What do you want to say? Because, honestly, racism is really alive and well, huh? I hate saying that.
Yeah.
I hate saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I hate saying it, too. And, you know, I think my heart's just in a heavy place, too, just from the war that's experienced.
Yeah, me too.
I think many of us have our hearts in a heavy place right now.
I mean, that's genocide. That's just, we could do a whole show on that, too.
Yeah. And again, I often mention this, you know, the most simple practice of gratitude, even expanding that and extending that into looking at things that we are grateful for that are for people outside of our own race or for cultures outside of our own culture. I know that science shows how gratitude can rewire the brain, and I really think if there's only one thing that people could do, which would be to be grateful for something, make a daily gratitude list of things that you're grateful for that have nothing to do with your culture or your race. Not that you can't be grateful for things or your culture or your race, but just to expand that beyond so that you're looking at other cultures, other races, and finding things that you're grateful for on a daily basis just to start to rewire our brains in that very simple yet very profound way.
Mm-hmm. Brett, thank you for today. I know this is a short chat. You and I will continue this. Just so you know, you are the first to know we have identified what our channel will be. That will be a forum for all this. And believe it or not, it's called TTN Diversity.
I love it.
I mean, we agonized over what to call it. We had like 6 different channels. We didn't want to leave a group out. And then Linda and I were like, what happened to the word diversity? Can't we use that? Boom. There we go.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all
with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit BrettBevel.com.
The Truth Is Funny Shift Happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Dhammayanti means peace and calm. Dhammayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Dhammayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom. Welcome everyone. Welcome to Dhammayanti, the show for your soul with me, Sarah Main. And today, in today's show, we're going to be talking about the path from ordinary to extraordinary. And we're actually talking about the path, the actual path itself, because there's characteristics and features and experiences that are sort of common. There are common elements to it. It'll be experienced slightly differently for everyone, but there are some common elements, and it's really good to just have an awareness around it. Otherwise, you just don't quite know what's happening to you and to your experiences and life in general. So if you've felt like you've awakened to another dimension of life, that there's just more to it than the ordinary 3D experience, but you haven't quite got comfortable with the word spiritual, you're worried what your friends and family might think, this is what I'm going to address today specifically. So let's get into it, because you are really a spiritual soul dressed as a human being. And there's a quote sometimes attributed to Wayne Dyer, sometimes to other people. So basically no one actually knows definitively who said it. But this is a quote that says, you are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. And look, it's a cute saying. It's sometimes on T-shirts and mugs. But it is actually reality, and that sometimes that experience is not always comfortable, and it's good to just have an understanding of what's happening so you're not too hard on yourself or you don't give up. So just consider this: in whatever way it's happened, have you started to question, started to search and look beyond your ordinary everyday experience of life? Do you feel like something has awoken in you? Do you feel that you're experiencing a disorientation with your self-image? You thought of yourself and felt yourself as one way, and now that's changed. It may not have changed radically, but it's just like there's a slight kink in your perception of your self-image, and there's this disjunct and this disorientation. Are you uncomfortable with the typical perception of what you're being, from the inside, being drawn towards. You don't know how to explain it, you know, and there's these uncomfortable terms that slightly pejorative terms that people use, like, oh, that's all herbal, that's just vegan, oh, that's all just unicorns, it's the soft option, you're off with the pixies, it's all woo-woo, kooky, anti-science, crystals, fairies, chanting, you're not in the real world, and it goes on and on and on. You know it's real, but you struggle with how to explain it, and you're faced with all that loud chatter can smack you in the face, frankly, verbally and psychologically, like the unicorn, soft option, woo-woo and all of that, and you just don't know what to do and what to say sometimes. Do you struggle to find the words to describe what you're experiencing? Do you feel uncomfortable using the word spiritual? And, I mean, what does spiritual even mean? You know, there's all sorts of things like that going on. But at the same time, are you excited by all the new things you're discovering and experiencing? You're getting new understandings. You might be trying new inner practices. Perhaps you've taken up meditation. There's new experiences in general. You've chosen to adopt some new habits, nothing radical, but you're, you know, seeking to establish some new habits and make better choices. You might be having a new outlook on life. You've got lots of questions. You're reading things. You've got fewer answers than you do questions. That's a good thing. You've got a new energy and a new enthusiasm and a new lightness of being. And in some respects, a new peace and calm and steadiness is there. It's just a general higher vibration and positive energy. So you've got those two things going on. And then you can feel like you're on a, in Australia and in England and New Zealand, we call it a seesaw, but I think in America it's referred to as a teeter-totter. Do you sometimes feel like you're on that play equipment going up and down all the time, steady one day and all over the place the next. Like I say, you've got so many questions and fewer answers, and sometimes you feel there's not many people to whom you can ask those questions. And do you feel that you can't really talk to your friends, regular friends that you used to talk to easily about things? All of a sudden you've got these new experiences, this new dimension, these new discoveries, and you can't really talk to them about it. It's not that it's private and secret. It's just a different dimension. And sometimes you feel like you don't quite fit in anymore in situations where you may have before. And even you might feel a bit alone, but not in a bad way, just a little bit alone. So all of these are characteristics of this shift in perception, and it's a shift within yourself where we're actually beginning to awaken, and the consciousness is actually evolving. If the consciousness is always and everywhere, ever-present and complete, whole, pure, perfect, that's your essence. But we're awakening from like a slumber, and it happens, this awakening, we call it an awakening. In Sanskrit, it's called a shubhechcha, which means a good impulse or a good desire. And it's like an inspiration. It appears out of nowhere, and it can be from something you've read. And it can be something you've read randomly. It can be something you've seen online or on TV, something someone said, or it can be an event in life. You may have experienced, for example, a loss of someone close, and it sort of shocked you in some way or other, and you start to question. But there's some impulse, some new energy has entered. And it's a little bit like the mirror cracks, and it'll never go back. So you have this situation where you're just not quite sure that how you perceived the world is in fact how it is. So this is the path. I'm talking about the actual path and the characteristics and nature of this. A lot of people don't really realise what's happening to them, and I'm helicoptering out of that day-to-day experience, that granular experience, and giving you an overview because it will just help this soul path that you're on actually, this soul path, it will just make it easier and you'll have greater understanding for yourself and everyone else what the situation is. So we've had this sort of, we'll call it an awakening, right? And then you are confronted with this societal judgment of that. It's covered in Plato's cave, where Plato says the prisoners in the underground cave, if one is freed and he goes up above ground and realizes that there is actually reality beyond that bondage in the cave, and he seeks to go back, it's natural, and liberate his friends in the cave, they would see him as being deluded and turn on him if they were freed and seek to sort of stop him and silence him. And, you know, that's the sense you get when, you know, you start talking about these things and people talk about woo-woo. You know, and this is an entirely familiar experience in my case. And so you tend to just not say anything. And that's fine within itself. But then sometimes you do want to find someone who understands. And that's then a new challenge. So just realizing that this is normal, it's natural, it's not a problem, but it is an experience, and to embrace that experience and understand that it's all okay, you're not going nuts, and by the same token, those that those that are quick to say, oh, it's all pixies and woo-woo and not in the real world and all that sort of stuff, not to judge them harshly, just understand that they literally cannot see what you're seeing, and that's not a problem. It doesn't make you better, doesn't make you higher. It's just now the responsibility is on you to have the greater understanding that they don't understand, and that there is discomfort in the experience. It's not necessarily your problem, and it's certainly not to blame anyone else who doesn't understand. It's just the situation, and that's why helicoptering out and having a sort of blue sky view over the situation takes out the judgment and the push and the misunderstandings that you can have of your own experience and anyone else who isn't part of that experience. And you do have, I find, a greater appreciation and gratitude for those people that you discover along the way who are in the same company as you, that do understand, and you have shared interests and shared experiences, because they're just moments to savour and enjoy and see as a blessing. And they are there, and they often are presented just at the right time. You don't actually need to be talking about this all day and every day like you did, you know, chat to your friends about everyday things. These sorts of things you don't need to be talking about all the time. The work goes on within. So that is just an orientation, a blue sky view about the situation, and acknowledging it, validating it, not getting stuck in it, and certainly not judging yourself or anyone else. So with that picture, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about moving beyond the comfort zone and stepping free of the fear, and what's really going on with this soul path that you've awoken to. So we'll be back shortly after the break. The wise tell us that beauty is everywhere, if only we know how to look. Here's a simple way to see beauty everywhere. Think of three beautiful things, like the laughter of a child, a sunset over the ocean, the sound of a waterfall, the taste of a perfect meal. It can be anything. Just remember three beautiful things. Then ask yourself,
What do these things have in common? What do they share which we call beauty? The next step is to let go of the specifics. The laughter, the sunset, the meals, and just contemplate beauty itself. This is a heart thing. Leave the mind and go to the heart and find the universal beauty. Join me, Sarah Moon, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover beautiful things together. And check out my website, damayanti.store. Welcome back. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today we're talking about this pathway of the ordinary to the extraordinary when we've woken from just ordinary life and suddenly there's other dimensions and they are real. They're not just sort of vague ideas. You actually experience them. And it's within your now your lived experience and there's this energy to discover more. And I'm talking about this path itself, and you are moving from the ordinary experience of life, the 3D experience, to the extraordinary, the 5D, if you like, the limitlessness that is your true nature. But there's an awakening and there's an apparent journey to evolve this. And once the inspiration has hit, then you can't sort of stop it, really. It's just an energy that carries you along, and you want to discover, you want to ask questions and learn more and put things into practice and evolve. So let's just address now the actual path itself, moving from the sort of ordinary to the extraordinary, is like moving out of a comfort zone into beyond the comfort zone, beyond the comfort zone to the limitlessness and the greatness and the magnificence of your true nature, which is here now. You are that. You are magnificent. You are limitless. You are sovereign. You are powerful. That is your true nature. The wisdom traditions talk about this. But we don't always experience it that way, and that's natural, and that's what the path is about, moving from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And that's not a big ego trip. This is there's a lot to be said about personal responsibility in that, which I'm going to cover in my next show. So imagine I have a diagram, and I'm actually talking to the diagram. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, imagine a set of concentric circles starting from smaller within, moving to without. And the inside of the circle is your comfort zone. And within that, in our normal everyday life, we move around with a degree of efficiency and confidence and competence. We're not walking into trees all the time, and we can actually look after our families, and we have jobs, and we participate in society and with our families and their relationships and all of that. So we are functional. We're not dysfunctional, generally speaking. This is what I'm talking about. But this is a comfort zone. We feel ourselves. It's part of our self-image, right? And this is a form of homeostasis. It is our set point, right? But that efficiency, from a broader perspective of your limitlessness, the extraordinary, that is an efficiency and a competence and a confidence within a certain barrier, right? There's a wall around it, if you like. It's an energetic wall. And then if we awaken and we feel like we are actually on a path of discovery to greater consciousness, higher awareness, greater inner freedom, limitlessness, universality, we feel that we're on this pathway, and so we start. And at first it's fantastic. And then we start really hitting some energetic barriers. We can feel an increase in negative feelings. We can hit some sort of more fundamental blockages like blame or apathy, you know, where we just, I can't get myself motivated anymore. It's like you've got lead in your boots and you just want to go back to where it was comfortable. Now, note the wording. It's comfortable. It's where you could just operate and you weren't bothered by all of this. You're aware of fear, fears of things that you weren't aware of before. You may find you things that trigger anger in you and lots of excuses. Could be the weather, it could be someone, family member or a co-worker or the, you know, some sort of community organization or friends or what someone said or what you ate. There's all these excuses. And like I said, there's no judgment here. It's just understanding the landscape because we're actually moving through some energetic barriers that would keep us and would drive us depending once we hit, you know, we pursue this and are not going to be put off. Everything about these energetic barriers would drive us back into that comfort zone where we would want to go back to sleep, as it were, because it's like we've woken up. And it would drive us back into that more that comfort zone of life. And it was fine before. And it's like the mirror's cracked and you can't put it back together again. So it's an interesting thing. And people do just close down. It's just too hard. The energy runs out. The habits reassert themselves. But for you, if you want to stay on this path, that's why I've called this show The Path from Ordinary to Extraordinary, because I'm actually talking about the path itself. And this is part of the path, and this is a common experience. Everyone will experience it slightly differently, but it's understanding the path that you're traveling on. So you can actually feel an increase in negative feelings, feel like you're going backwards. It's worse, but that's only because you're becoming more aware. You're actually evolving, and it's actually a good thing. Because you're aware of these negative things. A lot of the time, these were subconscious. And by definition, that means they're below sub your general consciousness. You were not aware of them. They were there all right. You just weren't aware of them. So now there's this, you're experiencing an increase in negative feelings. Whoa, that's not what you signed up for. Well, you need to keep going. You need to keep going. You need to keep going. That's where drilling down into persistence, perseverance, resilience, those kind of qualities is often needed at this point. Resolution, no, I'm not going to be put off. And addressing these negative feelings, these triggers, these tendencies that we have, feeling them, being present to them, releasing them, letting them go, any past things, and just keep going. And it can feel pretty tough, but beyond that is your freedom. And it's a case of you've got to do the difficult. And sometimes it's not, and I'm making it out to seem tough, but you do meet days where it's hard. You feel sort of almost inwardly under attack sometimes. And I've met that in my life, and believe you me, I've had the advantage from a young age of meditation. I've had the blessings of meditation and wisdom. You know, I've had every benefit in that regard, and yet the inner work goes on regardless of that. Doesn't give you a hall pass and a free pass to everything. You still need to do your own inner work, and it's work only you can do. And that's where your evolution and your greatness is discovered, in that inner work. And it's not fancy, it's not glamorous. No one comes and pats you on the back and gives you a medal and a bunch of flowers and a trophy. It is inner work you do yourself. And you need to get comfortable with that. And it's not, you know, sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder, but you need to keep walking on the path. And if there are things that come up, asking yourself questions like, what is going on here? Why am I experiencing this? And it's not a why like I shouldn't. What is bringing this experience within my field of experience now? What am I doing that's contributing to this? And this is not being hard on yourself. It's taking responsibility, because if you understand what the wisdom traditions are saying, whatever we're experiencing is a reflection of the inner to the outer, as within, so without. So it's taking that level of responsibility, which I'm going to talk about in my next show, which is moving from the state of victimhood into the mindset of the victor, from victim to victor. And that's a clear choice and process of change. So you need to just keep going and understanding that there's nothing wrong with you, this is, and there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. This is absolutely par for the course. It goes without saying, you will meet things, and you need to meet them. They need to be cleared out. You need to weed the garden, and you need to address these things, feel them, be present to them, bring love to them, bring approval to them, and yet let them go and release them. And they're forms of energy, and they do need that sort of level of attention, acknowledgement, and then release. You learn a lot more about yourself. You grow, and you grow in understanding and compassion, and you then can experience your greater power, your inner power, your creativity, your freedom, your growth. And that's really the spiritual being having a human experience. So it's all okay. In summary, it's all okay. There are no problems. And understand that every single effort you make on this path is never, ever lost. No matter how hard it can be sometimes, no effort is ever lost, no matter how bad the day you're having. Keep going and never, ever give up. Perseverance, persistence, resilience, resolution is sometimes exactly what's needed, and strength. And practice steadiness and stillness every day. Just have a moment. If you don't have a regular meditation practice or something, practice being steady and still. And in my book, Conscious Confidence, I put in an anchor exercise, and that is learning to just have that access to steadiness, so that when you're in the middle of the maelstrom within, and you might be at work and you've got some anchor within yourself, because it will pass. Like every storm, it will pass. This is just energy that's coming up needing to be released. So my next show I'm going to be doing is all about taking responsibility, and it's wake up and get out of BED, bed. BED stands for blame, excuses and denial. It's moving from victim to victor. So if you want to know more about Dhammayanti for your soul, go to my website, dhammayanti.store, dhammayanti.store. And I'm also on all the socials, Facebook and Instagram, and you can catch up with me there. If you have any questions, drop me a question. And check out previous podcasts as well. And I'll finish with some Sanskrit now. It's the beautiful peace prayer from the Yajur Veda. In heaven, peace, peace in the space between. On earth, peace. On the waters, peace. In plants, peace. In trees, peace. Peace in all powers. In spirit, peace. Peace in everything. Peace alone, peace. Peace, peace, peace. And the Sanskrit? Om Yau Shanti Antariksham Shanti Prithivi Shanti Apa Shanti Oshadhaya Shanti, Vanaspataya Shanti, Vishve Deva Shanti, Brahma Shanti, Sarvam Shanti, Shanti Reva Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Dhammayanti, or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, dhammayanti.store. That's D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I.store. Dhammayanti.store.
see you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. For around this hour, we had an earlier incident and situation on 405 southbound the Lake Washington Boulevard exit around mile plus 10. It has been taken care of, but in the wake of that, of course, because of the morning rush, 405 southbound is still backed up well into Bellevue around Northeast 8th Street. So if you're over on the east side running through I-90 and Factoria, it's going to be a heavy commute for you, but it will smooth out, hopefully, as we get closer to the lunch rush. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin, bridging the mystical and scientific. Topic for the show, power animals, your sacred allies. Stay tuned.
This is an NBC News Radio special report, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. President Biden is talking about U.S. aid to Ukraine.
Putin is inflicting appalling devastation and horror on Ukraine, bombing apartment buildings, maternity wards, hospitals. I mean, it's just got awful.
His White House address follows virtual remarks by Ukraine's president to members of Congress. President Biden announced an additional $800 million in security assistance to Ukraine. The first Ukrainian-born congresswoman says she believes there's some unity right now in Congress to put pressure on President Biden to take more action against Russia. Indiana Republican Victoria Spartz said it's Congress's responsibility to do what the executive branch will not or is slow to do.
Congress has a responsibility to put pressure on this president. We provide the necessary tools to the executive branch, and we have to have accountability from the executive branch, and I'm glad to see there is some unity.
This has been an NBC News Radio special report, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The war in Ukraine is a big tragedy. A huge number of refugees are waiting asylum near the borders of Poland, Moldova, and Romania. Kind Radio and nonprofit organization Helping Hands are working at the border to help the refugees with the most necessary shelter, food, clothing, personal care products, and more. If you want to help Ukrainian people, please call at 206-910-7040 or visit our site, helpinghandsteam.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, a partly sunny day in store for us today. High temperatures around 51, 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain showers moving in. Low temperatures dropping down to a crisp 40. For Thursday and running up into the weekend, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures backing off just a few degrees into the upper 40s, 48, 49, with low temperatures hovering in the mid-40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the Hour of Healing Power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your way to your maximum potential. So come on, settle in, listen up, and I'll take your questions head on. Together, we'll find practical wisdom and understanding about what ails you. In The Healing Hour, we'll start your day off right, insights and practical health knowledge, and concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join up, and let me help, and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the Healing Hour right now.
Hey, everybody. I'm Doc Martin. I'm with Dr. Pat, the Healing Hour, and we're going to shake off some mystery around power animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love power. Now, remember, that's power, not force. I love power. And I love animals. And you put the two together and BAMO. So
yeah.
let's do a little BAMO today.
Yeah. And it's powerful beyond really, what people can even imagine. I mean, I know you're going to share some stories. I know I'm going to share some stories. But also, we have a very special deck that we're also going to use for people that want to come in and find out what animal today is calling to you. What does it mean? And then Doc Martin is going to give you her absolutely straight talking shaman perspective on it. So it's an exciting show. We need to call in the healing today.
We could call in lots of it. So why don't we start, Pat? Why don't you pick a card to start us off?
All right.
And you get ready and get that rolling, and I'll just talk a little bit. Power animals were a big deal to the indigenous because, unlike the way we operate in our modern world today, the indigenous were intimately linked with nature. They knew the movements of the animals in the forest, the animal migratory path. They were able to watch for the signs of disruption in the weather because the animals change. The animals and birds are animals, right? So when we energetically link up with animals, we are reinforcing our original connection to the earth and to nature. And that in and of itself brings us a lot of power. So, Pat, did you pick one? Who are we going to open with today?
Well, I want to just say to everybody, there's a couple ways that you can connect with us. One of them is to call into the show, say hi to Benny, 1-800-930-2819. Definitely you can do that. The other way, I think Olivia and or Jacob and or Daniel or all three of them are monitoring Facebook. And all we need to know is just check, type something in there and just let us know that you want us to pull a card for you and we will get at it. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what I pick today because I know there's a couple things that have been a bit heavy on my mind for today, but a couple of really cool, insightful things that are happening. So where do you want me to pick it? Top, middle, bottom? You get to call the spot.
All right. Middle.
Well, close to middle as I can get.
Okay.
You know, this is interesting. This card popped up before, and it's the turkey. I love the turkey, right? You know, turkey is one of those cards that when people hear about it, they get confused. But turkey is a powerful card. Do you have any experience with turkey?
Well, let me tell you about turkey.
Little turkey.
Let me tell you about turkey. I live in southeast Pennsylvania right now. It's spring gobbler season. Turkeys are phenomenally known with the Native Americans, at least those in the woodland Indians on the East Coast, as a spiritual connection, very powerful spiritual connection. And if you're walking in the woods and you find a turkey feather, that's a big deal. And they're very tuned in to the seasons. They're very good at demonstrating their beauty. In fact, I don't know if anybody knows this, but, you know, when we were deciding to make the eagle our national bird, Ben Franklin, who was in Congress at that time and very important statesman, and he was kind of annoyed because he considered the eagle basically one step up from a vulture. But he thought the most magnificent bird and the one that should be our national bird was the turkey. So tell us what it says about turkeys.
Well, turkey is one of these ones where it is a giveaway, and it's referred to as a giveaway. And by the way, the deck that I'm using, I just want to give credit to the people and the deck that I go to. For those of you out there, I just want to hold that up for you, right, and give credit. Jamie Sands and David Carson. That deck has been around for a long time. I know they've updated it. But turkey is all about giveaway, right? And it's thought to be a giveaway eagle. So it's interesting, right? Because anybody that picks the turkey automatically thinks, geez, I wish I would have gotten this. And so I love how this is, that we're talking about you know, Turkey being a medicine of many, many, many other saints, many other people that we know in history. And it says this: if you have Turkey medicine, let me just read it. If you have Turkey medicine, which we pulled for the show today, you have many virtues, right? Celebrate. Celebrate if you have Turkey medicine is what it says, because it says that your virtues are many. You have transcended self. You act and react on behalf of others. You aspire to help those who need help. This is not out of some sense of self-righteous moralization or religious guilt. Help and sustenance are given by Turkey out of the realization that all life is sacred. I mean, hello, right? We're thinking about that. And it goes on. It talks about, you know, it is knowing that the Great Spirit resides within all people. It is the acknowledgement that what you do for others, you do for yourself. Turkey medicine rests in true ego and enlightenment. Doing unto others and feeding the people, right, is the message of the true spiritual system. So that's a little bit about Turkey, yeah?
Yeah, that's neat.
And I did pull the card this way. So I literally pulled it
upright.
Not right. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because turkeys are out in the, well, when it's starting to get spring and the farmers' fields are plowed or already cropped, the corn is cut down and stuff, and then out come the turkeys in a flock, and literally all pairs of parents are taking care of everybody's babies. So you can see a whole group of them come out of the trees or onto a field at dusk. And it is a very communal feeling. You don't usually see a lone turkey. Sometimes you see a gobbler who, I don't know if he got his hormones mixed up, but he'll be running across the road and fly into the trees. But mostly it's a group of them, a flock of them. So I like that idea of community, and I have a wonder if that expression about giving of oneself for others has to do with the fact that we use turkey for Thanksgiving, so thank you turkey. But I just love the idea that animals have energies that we can really learn from and resonate with and incorporate, and I think that's the beauty of talking about power animals or animal totems or spirit animals.
What is your experience, if I could ask? I mean, let's talk about why we're talking about this topic today. And let me ask you, this is something that was near and dear to your heart. And I want to know from your perspective, you know, how you have been touched by the power of aligning or creating alliances, right, with our animal friends. So let's talk about some of the totem spirit animals, you know, and patterns of cultural consciousness, yeah?
Yeah. And I think what's also we're recognizing, and if we want to be really honest, all of us have indigenous ancestors, even though it's more common to think of the indigenous of this country as being brown-skinned Native Americans. Those of us who are white have indigenous in Europe, in Ireland, in the Celts. So all of us, I think, resonate with that old way of connecting, our old way of walking on the earth, which is understanding the energies around us, those of the animals, of the forces of nature, of the actual topography, the geography. And those connections are what energize us, nourish us, feed us. I'll tell a story about myself, and let me just check in with you first, Pat. Do we need to look at a break
I can keep rolling.
Okay, I'll keep rolling. So For those of you who've listened in before, I'm a physician. I work in rural Pennsylvania, and I trained in shamanic medicine and subsequently with other energy healers. And I've been on a journey myself that I've cataloged in part in the book that I just finished writing titled Maximum Medicine. And I'm a girl of science, or I was anyway. I didn't think I had any intuition. I didn't know that I had any psychic ability. I didn't know that I could connect with the other realms of for a really deep, powerful, energized life. But when I started studying shamanism and subsequently when I started studying energy medicine, the connection to the earth was always, it was always reinforced. And for me, when I first connect to anything in nature, I'm drawn to the animals. I live on a small farm that's not a working farm, but I have a horse and a miniature donkey and two pygmy goats I rescued and chickens and barn cats, and I couldn't imagine it any other way. But how did these animals change my life? And how did connecting with a power animal wake me up and open my eyes? And I'll tell you a story of my spiritual learning and something that happened that really woke me up, and I didn't necessarily ask for it. So it's about 2008, and I'm going with a group of like spiritually minded women to Sedona, and I describe this incident in my book. And we are going to have a spiritual retreat, be in the Red Rocks, enjoy that energy. And we hook up with a man there, Dr. Yap Van Etten, who knows the ley lines and the vortexes of the rocks around Sedona. And he takes us on a hike. And we go up onto a mesa on top of the Red Rock. And it's probably about 1 in the afternoon. It's April, so it's hot up on the rock, but it's not otherwise scorching. And he sits us down on a rock that he has intuited as being connected in a ley line to the deep earth. And he sits us down, and we start to, he brings us on a meditation. And he first asks us to connect to the galaxy. I believe we connected to the constellation of Cassiopeia, which truthfully I don't even remember much about. And then he asks us to connect to a dragon that he has met. He's written a book about it, Celestial Guardians. Well, I'm not a deep meditator. My mind usually can't go that quiet. But I'm sitting on this beautiful red rock in this gorgeous energy that he has set up in the group. And when he says connect to the dragon, I felt the earth moves, and I don't mean that literally like an earthquake. I mean a force coming in that was so powerful, I wasn't sure if I should jump up and run or what I should do.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel afraid. And it was interesting. It was a force that was so otherworldly and so powerful, I thought I might have been afraid and been, you know, freaked out, but I wasn't. And it was this deep connected feeling. And my mental mind went to knowing that the Chinese revered the dragons. They considered them very powerful beings. And that, okay, so maybe dragons are in mythology. I can live with that. I can deal with a dragon. You know, my analytical mind going haywire. And then I realized that what I was feeling was a real force of energy. So I thought, this is pretty cool. I like it. It felt good. And in my little bit of shamanic training I've had by then, I said in my mind to the dragon, will you come home with me? Will you stay connected to me? Subsequently got back home, Pennsylvania, a couple weeks later, my sister was having some difficulties, and I offered to do a shamanic session. And we were there quietly, and I'm doing this in my mind energetically. And I reached the sticking point, and I said to inside my mind, I'm not getting anywhere. I really, really need some help. Dragon, are you here? Will you come? All of a sudden, boom. Big dragon that I had connected with in Sedona, but with her were two smaller dragons, three different colors of dragons. Big green one that I had met before,
wow.
Small electric blue and dark purple.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
Wow.
And there's a shimmer in the room and an otherworldly sense, and I thought, wow, I have really connected to something here. Wow, holy moly. So after the session, I asked my sister, how do you feel? She said, I feel great. And I said, she said it was really powerful. I said, well, I think that's because the dragons came. She said, oh, yeah, three of them. So I said, what do you mean three of them? She said, well, they came. There were three. There was a green and a blue and a purple. Well, I had not said anything to her. I had not told her about it. When you have moments like that, and I think we've all had moments like that, but for me, moments like that, and what's so powerful about connecting in spirit to forces of nature, and what I teach you guys to do when my book comes out, and if you want to get it, you get to see and feel the unseen world. And it is rich and full and millions of times bigger and with more potential than what we walk in every day.
Yeah.
And here I had validation that my sister felt the dragons, saw them as I saw them, and I had not said a word. And, you know, I didn't consider myself telepathic or anything like that. And then just to close up about why that's so beautiful of an experience, you guys may remember about a year ago I had maybe it was back in August, a session where I brought in a Mongolian shaman live.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in the preparation for that session, I had a session with the shaman by Zoom. He'd never met me before. And through the translator, he said, what spirits do you connect to? I said, oh, you know, the dragon. I'm sorry, I said the bear and the jaguar. And the translator shaking his head, and he says, that's not right. And I said, well, maybe it's the dragon. And the translator said, oh, yeah, he already saw three of them around you. So you've got the energies that you have connected to. And when I have experiences like that, then I know that things are real.
Yeah.
That they're, because here's a guy in Mongolia, 13-hour time difference, never met me before, over Zoom, which is hard to do energetics over Zoom. You have to really connect to the stream of energy, not through the camera. And he sees dragons around me. I can't argue that. I can't say, oh, no, it can't happen. That's, you know, these are experiential moments that change your life. So when I say to you that connecting to power animals will change your life, I mean it.
Yeah. I think when we're talking about this and we're talking about how to use them, this is what becomes so cool about this. You know, once upon a time, and I bet you must have experienced this too a little bit, right, where, you know, somehow you're drawn to learn more. You know, in my case, it was really expand my awareness of spirituality, what it is. What do I believe? What do I believe, right? And we have events like the one you just described and your draw to it, your attraction to it. And a lot of times to other people, it doesn't make sense. For example, if you walked into Linda's house in New Jersey, you would be struck by, you would think, if you walked into Linda's house, you would think, number one, someone from Asia lives here, That would be one. And two, completely just dragons everywhere, right? What, you know, dragons on tables. Yeah. And yet, Linda doesn't have to explain it to anybody. You know, she's just drawn to it. But also what you shared is there's messaging that comes from our animal friends. I think let's talk about that, because there's making a connection, and then there's what happens with that connection, right?
Right. And I think, first of all, the connection really makes you drop all the doubt you have about the unseen world. So that's important in and of itself, because that suspend disbelief. If you can just for a minute allow yourself to think that it could be real, and then the veils fall away, you experience such a deep potency that there's no going back. But you have to drop that rigid, this is the only way it is the way my human eyes see it and the way the rest of the world tells me it is. Then the next step that comes is, what does that do for you? How does that help you? What's the value in it? Well, there's many, many steps of value. And one of them, the first is, I think it opens to a perspective, to a bigger, broader perspective. And that's what the shamans, indigenous shamans did, is they opened to so many perspectives. And in the realm of healing, the perspective existed, the possibility existed, that this disease did not maintain, that this disease disappeared and the person was whole and healed. So when you're able to hold the reality of something different, in other words, if you have multiple destiny lines and you're able to get off where everything is telling you this is going to happen, this person is sick, it's doomed, they're going to die. If you jump over to maybe the lesser potential but still probable destiny line, and you grab onto that one, it's a whole different view of the world you see. And what you see downstream is the healed state. That's valuable. And I think that's what's hard for doctors to do, Western doctors. I'll tell you a story. I had a person who had a nodule in their thyroid or in that area, lymph nodes. They had an ultrasound. It was like, oh, this is bad. We better get a biopsy. This really looks like a lymphoma. I sent her to an oncologist. Oh, they look at the ultrasound. Oh, yeah, this is a lymphoma, but don't worry. It's smoldering, meaning it's not burning bright. It's sort of still on fire, but low ashes. It's going to be with you a long time. Don't worry. Well, who's going to not worry when somebody told you you have a lymphoma in your neck? Well, the guy didn't do a biopsy, which I don't think you should make, you know, statements and predictions based on your guess. But anyway, somehow she rallied to go find a specialist in a bigger university setting who automatically said, no, we're going to do a biopsy. Well, what does it turn out to be? It turns out to be an autoimmune condition called sarcoid. Not a tumor at all. Not a lymphoma, not a death sentence. So as a physician, just saying, let's get a biopsy, says out loud, yeah, everything's telling us we're heading to cancer, but I'm not so sure. Why don't we take the road less traveled and head to something else? If a physician can hold that possibility for the patient, it leads to different testing. It leads to how you talk with them. It leads to open your voice. And it leads to them grabbing on to that possibility and calling in all of their guardian angels, their spirit guides, all of their unseen forces, and rallying it to put all the momentum onto this other railroad track. I think that's critical. We have to do that. We can't box ourselves in. What do you think, Pat?
I think that, you know, we're going back to what Indigenous people knew all too well, and that is that there is an innate wisdom inside of all of us, but also many, 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 many times we've seen that innate wisdom also tally with, along with some other evidence. And that's what we don't talk about that often. You know, we don't talk about how Indigenous people, how shamans, how people that walk the earth used everything available to them, everything available to them. And, you know, that's really, you know, the point that we're talking about. Science, the bridge. This is what your show is about. It's building that bridge between science and metaphysical. You're not saying take one, throw out the other. You're saying there's a bridge. And many, many cultures tapped in to the spirit animals, tapped in, lived and breathed by them. We do it innately. People see a dragonfly. You know, not everybody will relate to a dragonfly, but I relate to them. They land on my hand. I talk to them. It is one of my little signs. But when we come back, I want to talk about something interesting. Can we use the power? Can we use the power of our animal friends? You know, the winged ones, the two-legged, the four-legged. Can we use their energy to heal? This morning, I did a prayer for Ukraine, and I pulled a card from this deck. When we come back, we'll talk about that card, but we'll talk about the value of that card and the stories that will help us and do help us craft our day, our lives, and change and transmute energy faster than you can imagine. Dr. Sharon Martin, if you want to find out more about Doc Martin, go to drsharonmartin.com. When we come back, we'll tell you what this means to connect with animals and how can you call upon them for many, many, many things. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
All right.
Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart, because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready
for the most expansive part of who you're going to become. This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crush, busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Coach Marte.
And I'm licensed therapist with Drina Lathan.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Marte and with Drina Lathan show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insight on how to turn things around and gain the merit for life mindset.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the Air Machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on that, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. This is a very, very special edition for those of you out there, a very special edition of the Healing Hour. This is Dr. Sharon Martin's show. And today we're talking about power animals, your sacred allies. And boy, aren't they, in so many ways. If you want to find out more about Sharon, go to drsharonmartin.com. If you want to work with Sharon, if you want to create a blessing for yourself, something beautiful, give Sharon a call at 833-940-1882. Or you could always email her at Sharon@drsharonmartin.com. And doctor is DR. First of all, let me just mention, writing a book is a journey. And that's what Doc Martin is kind of finishing up here, is the last kind of leg of submitting the manuscript into the publisher. And so we're excited about having Maximum Medicine, which she created, and the Maximum Medicine Way, be that of sharing with all of you. And you'll hear stories in it. You'll hear about this amazing, you know, approach and wheel she's created so that we can identify spiritual elements. We can identify things like directions, and we can identify and align them with parts of our body. Because everything, and in spirituality, and everything is connected. Today, we're talking about our animal friends. If you'd like to have insight into yours, or would like to know who yours is for today and today's message, please give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. You know, Sharon, let me kick it off by saying, I was telling you during the break that I had pulled a card because what's going on in the Ukraine is, I don't even have words for it. The other day, I was looking at photographs of women that were in a birthing, maternity, our language, hospital. Mm. And I was so struck by this and the excuses that we bombed it because we thought there were military, and of course there were military in the birthing ward because you were bombing the Ukraine. But the images that came out, you know, I thought I need to see what animal wants to come forward. You know, what is the healing? What is the message? And when I pulled from this same deck, I got the blank card. And the instructions is you can select your own, or you can pull another, or you can do both. And then I pulled the dog. And this is how powerful, right? When you read about the dog is about loyalty. when you hear about the Ukrainian people and what they're saying and the power of the Ukrainian women, they are so absolutely clear about their loyalty to each other and what they're willing to do. But then I read about this, and I was just blown away. Dog has been considered the servant of humanity throughout history. If a person carries dog medicine, he or she usually serving others or humanity in some way. Here you will find the charity worker, the philanthropist, the nurse, the counselor, the insulin, and the soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Dog was the servant soldier that guarded the tribe's lodges from surprise attack. Dog is the medicine that embodies the loving gentleness of best friend and half-wild protector energy of territorial imperative. Now, you don't make this stuff up. I could have picked, there's a lot of cards in this deck. But that's the power of it, right? That's the power of it. And I know you must have stories like this. I'm actually going to post this. We're in conversation with several of the members of the Ukrainian parliament to do a show with them. And what is your relationship to gathering and connecting and getting messages like that?
For me personally?
Yes.
In what... Explain that a little bit more.
What are your stories? What are your stories with connecting to your animal friends?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just saw the chat. We have a caller, so maybe after I'll talk about this first, and then let me go ahead. Let me tell you something where I really opened to connecting to the power animals. In the training, the Healing the Light Body training of the Four Winds, the shamanic training, there's four directions that we train at. And we were in the training of the West direction where we were really clearing out foreign energies, really cleaning our energy field. And we were connecting deeply. We were doing the archetypes of different animals. And I was feeling very connected to Hawk. And I had been working with Hawk for a while. And I'm coming home from this conference in Connecticut, coming down through past the Poconos and coming on a back road. And all of a sudden, bam, in my windshield, big, I knew it was a big bird, hit and then fell off onto the shoulder. Stopped the car. I'm so upset. How did I hurt an animal, you know, a hawk or couldn't have been an owl. It was daytime. Got out, looked around, looked in the shoulder, couldn't find it, backed the car up, still couldn't find it, looked up in the field a little bit, you know, did it get hurt and bounced off, still couldn't find it. Little feather and a little blood on the windshield. Well, I'm very, very upset, but I spend 5 minutes looking, get back in the car a little bit shaken, and I drive ahead, and not 2 miles ahead is a fatal accident, multiple cars that had literally just happened. And I knew at that moment that had I been there 5 minutes prior, had I not stopped the car and had a little detour looking for a wounded hawk, I would have been in that accident. And at that moment, I felt that I had been assisted by the energies of Hawk. That wound, that hitting me stopped me enough to keep me from being in a bad accident. So moments like that, I can really feel the benefit of taking in, aligning yourself and being allies with all of the power that's out there in the world. If you can align yourself with it, then your limited scope of influence really, really magnifies and expands.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's the power of connecting with these other animals and their energies.
Yeah. I mean, this is really what we're talking about today, is to really understand the power of what's available to us. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Mr. Benny, who do we have calling us today?
Jack calling from San Diego area. Hi, Jack. What can we do for you?
Hey, Jack.
Hi. Hello, ladies. Very fine to talk with you.
Hello.
Interested in... knowing what my spirit animal might be.
Awesome. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to pull, of course, from the deck, and you're going to tell me, do you want me to pull from the top or the middle or the bottom? Or just pull?
How about the bottom?
All right, you got it. Is there anything you are that you relate to? Is there any type of energy with animals that you relate to?
Determination, freedom. I'm not sure.
Well, that's okay, because here's what you've gotten. I'm going to show you. This is a really powerful card, in a sense, based on
what
you said.
Back it up, Pat, just a little bit there, so we can see it.
Is that better, Ben?
No, a little bit. There we go.
It's the move.
Thank you, Pat.
In the book I'm referencing, it's number 11. And this is about self-esteem, right? This particular animal energy is about self-esteem. Right. And what it does is it's the call of the male moose. And, you know, it's really awesome when you think about this creature. It's really incredible. Right. But there's a wisdom that happens throughout this. And then there's the moose cow, blaze of self-esteem. So moose people, and apparently you must have this in your cards, have the ability to know when to use the gentleness of deer and when to activate the stampede of the buffalo. Do you see what I mean? It's a indigenous grandfather warrior. And so usually moose medicine is found in the elders. It's found in people that have walked the earth. It's the elders and honoring tribal law. But the task is for you to write down, and this is the hardest part of really accepting moose energy, and then Sharon's going to jump in. It is for you to write down all the things that you can love about yourself as you progress in life. And that's very difficult for people to do. Does that make sense to you?
I think so, yes.
Sharon?
So, Jack, the feeling I was getting is that something's got you off kilter. And maybe, as Pat's picking up on, doubting yourself and having to tap into your well of determination to continue to go forward in the way that you know how to do. And I think that moose is a perfect power source for you, because mooses don't stand down. They do not stand down. Now, do they always stampede? You know, but you never saw a moose back up. At least I don't think so. My girlfriend lives in Newfoundland. I'll have to ask her, but I don't think a moose backs up. So when I heard you say, you know, determination, that was the feeling I got, is that maybe you're tapping into that right now because you started to doubt yourself or you felt a little off balance.
What do you think?
Wonderful. I think that's very interesting. Moose are obviously very intelligent and wonderful and ancient and wise. And I'm very proud to be connected with that.
Yeah, it is powerful. And what moose will call you to do is call you to really explore this part of yourself. You know, moose is one of these characters, right, that doesn't let us off the hook easily. I have a couple of totems that I feel let me off the hook a little bit. But moose is the one that's going to hang on to you until you fully raise yourself up and see yourself as nothing but pure perfection. Does that make sense?
It does. Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could say it's one of those animal totems where you can just lay back and just enjoy it. It wants you to acknowledge and fully step into the truth of who you are. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate you, and I wish you all the best.
You betcha.
Thank you.
I have another request. I'm going to go to it right now. Pam has asked for, you know, she wants to know what power animals are connected to her. And what's fascinating about this is as Pam was reaching out to us on Facebook, it's interesting she said what power animals are related to her. And out of the deck, there are several. But Pam, you will be blown away. And I picked these cards randomly. One of them was picked. Two of them fell out. The card that was picked, Pam, if you're listening, butterfly, and she's probably jumping out of her seat right now about that, right? Because there are no mistakes. But one of my favorites, and Sharon, I think you're going to relate to this, is ant. Anytime anybody gets the ant, there are a couple of these, Sharon, that if somebody says to you, if a shaman says to you, hello, your animal totem or your totem is an ant, you want to go get another shaman. Most people are like, I got to go get another shaman.
But no, I think this is good.
It's very
powerful.
First
of all, the only thing you've said what you said that I was connected, what are related to me? So that search for community, that search for connectedness, ants are powerfully connected to each other. Their actions are for the tribe, not for the individual. And nowadays, in the way the world is going, Pamela, I can see how you might be yearning to know what are your bigger connections, because getting through this by yourself, if you're anything like me and the rest of us, it's not easy to go forward by yourself. You need your tribe. So ant is really cool in that it's bringing out that
mm-hmm.
recognition and clarification that it takes a village.
Yeah, and you know what I love about these two cards, butterfly and ant, believe me, they go together. And Pam, butterfly, for those of you who don't know, butterfly is one of the four transformation totems, the four major transformation totems. Ant is about patience. Now, when you put those two together, it is our Achilles heel. When we know we're in the middle of transforming, I mean, you're the author of a book.
We don't want to wait.
Oh, my gosh, no.
We want that cocoon to open right now.
Yeah. Ant would have been, we would have wanted to pick alligator or something. But butterfly and ant. And then you know what came out for her? And honestly, I didn't know there were more. Two of these. So you get to pick one for Pam, butterfly, ant. Now,
top.
Sharon, you get to pick one.
Top, in the top of the deck, just a little ways down.
Elk.
Majestic,
elk.
Yep.
Okay, and the next one?
Oh, because it said pick two more? Mm-hmm.
Well, two blank ones came out. And then, by the way, I picked another blank one. So, Pam, I want to tell you, Pam, what the message is, we're going to give you a couple of these, but this is telling you there's one that wants to be chosen by you, right? But I'm going to pick the fourth. So we have elk. Oh, my gosh. What is the message
on
this?
The other thing I'm thinking is we're being told to go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yep.
And that's part of transformation. What takes patience is to take ourselves into the deeper levels. Don't stop at the first superficial level. Okay, tell me what you got.
I got elk and then turtle. And, you know, these four cards, if we had more time, we could talk more about them. But you're really looking at when you put all four, and if you put them in the four directions, it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Transformation, ant is patience, but enormous persistence. Elk is about stamina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That talks to itself. Mm-hmm. And then the last one
And about blowing your horn when you deserve to congratulate yourself.
Right. And so 9 and 10. 9 was butterfly, 10 is turtle. Turtle is about Mother Earth. Wow. Sharon, what
we
is
always
so,
come back.
What's
we
the
always
message
come
with
back.
Pam for all of those?
Well, I think if we're reaching, as I'm sure Pam is, for a transformation, for looking ahead at where your path is going to take you, who do I go with? Like, what is my tribe? What energies are going to join me? And to dig in, don't just take the first level. Take it deeper. And turtles are also patient. Remember, slow and steady wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, the earth. The earth has the source, and as it has the energies of the animals, to feed you, to nourish you on your journey, and to help dissipate any of your anxiety, because the human world's got a lot of that. So I think you're on the right path, and I think you've got resources. And hopefully this gave you a taste of what those are.
Oh, my gosh. Sharon, thank you for this great show. What's your personal
message? It was really fun.
It was totally fun. And Pam can always get a hold of you directly and explore this more. Pam,
yes.
You can schedule time with Sharon, and she can explore this more with you. How do people get a hold of you?
Best way is to email me, Sharon, at drsharonmartin.com. I would love to work with you. I think to sort of sum this up, in order for us to have enough internal power to move forward and to bring our world into being, because we want to transform the world. What we've got going now isn't working, and we need to shift it. And to do that, we need to amplify our personal power. And one of the ways to do that is to gain power from making allies with the unseen world, and that includes the power animals. And one of the ways, I think Pat's deck is beautiful, this medicine card deck. Get that deck and sit and in meditative space, draw yourself a card and reflect on that and reflect on the energies that that animal can bring you and line up with it. Because when you're aligned, you are gaining power of the earth, and these animals are integrally linked to the life force. And
thank you for listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We're going to be together the third Wednesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific for candid, honest conversations to help you change the way you think about healing, about yourself, about your life. Did you hear your answer on the show? Well, I will be with you next month, ready for all your questions, from energy medicine to traditional healing and beyond. Healing is slow movement and destination. But are you stuck? What is your true destiny line? Listen in, call in, and let the world know. Together, we'll choose what brings you into healing and let you call in all the power of the universe to act on your behalf. Reclaim your path. To learn more about me, Doc Martin, and Maximum Medicine, The Healing Hour, visit www.maximummedicine.com.